Turn your Bible with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. According to dictionary.com that I use often, the definition of the word savage is fierce, ferocious, or cruel. And I need to give you another definition for the word seeker. Seeker means that a person who is searching for something or someone. In chapter 8, we will meet the three main characters in these two definitions, savage and seekers. The savage belonged to the Saul of Tarsus, the first character, a brilliant young Pharisee who had all the promise of becoming the chief of the Sanhedrin, next generation. The Sanhedrin, as you know, the Jewish religious and civil Supreme Court. And the second character is Simon. He is the seeker with the wrong motive. And third character, we do not know his name. He is an unnamed Ethiopian eunuch. He is also seeker, but with the right motive. Then we will meet a gentleman named, fellow believer's name, Philip. He is the man with a fire in his heart for Christ. I hope that all of us have the same kinds of zeal and fire for the Lord. We all have an important choice to make in our lives. And let us see what kinds of choice these four people have made. And where that's how they got there. And how they're going to go from that point with another choices. Let's stop here and pray. Heavenly Father, we make many choices in our lives. Important choices and not so important choices. But let us make our choice with you in mind. Let us do everything according to your ways. Let us look at the things from your perspective. Let us look at the things, especially our sins, from your perspective. And despise our own sins and not to repeat. Father, we are asking you to make us be the true seeker of Jesus Christ, seeking your truth, seeking your ways, always seeking your heart, not our own ways. Father, we pray for President Obama and the leaders of this country. Nowadays, they are acting like a bunch of children. Father, speak to them. They may come to sense, and they may turn their heart to you. And we also pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters, especially the one who attends our church services. You keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 8, verse 1, please, in the book of Acts. Chapter 8. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. His death means Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, I want you to note the two words. He made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off the men and women, committing them to prison. You see, the Saul of Tarsus, this is before he became a Paul the Apostle. And he was literally living off the hatred and the threat against Christians. Like a savage wild beast going after prey. And he was in search. He was in search, but not for God, but for the followers of Jesus Christ. He was going after them and trying to destroy them as many as they can. His raging fury obsessed him. The Greek word for that made havoc, I made a note, and it which means army destroying a city without mercy, or the wild animal t- preparing its meat. Saul was viciously attacking the Christian with glee, and he's even attacking the women. So how was it that a man with such a religious background, and he is very much into religion, can end up become like a common murderer? You see, it's because a religion can be very blinding. Religion can be very blinding. And religion can make a destructive force, and religious people conspired to put the Jesus to death. And they did with this young man named Stephen. By the way, you are guys in the spit zone, right? Just kidding. I won't spit. When I say religion, I'm not talking about faith in Jesus Christ. You need to make a complete distinction. There's a big difference between the man-made religion, often holding on to the religious traditions, and the faith in Jesus Christ. I believe that religion is probably keeping more people from Christ than any other thing combined, because it gives them false sense of security. Many of you are old enough to know that there was a vehicle, Nissan and Toyota made these kinds of vehicles. Do you remember the seat belt, shoulder belt going back and forth as you open the door? Remember that one? And then it lasted for about 2 years, disappeared, and nobody asked for it. You know why? Because as it comes down and goes up, and the driver walks in, step in, and sit in the car seat, driver's side, and shoulder belt comes up automatically. So what is the normal thought? They thought, well, I have a seat belt on. One thing they forget is the lap belt. In the case of the head-on collision, shoulder belt does not protect them. It protects them from the running themselves into the dashboard and the steering wheel. But without the lap belt, they will fly right through the windshield. So because of this shoulder belt, they tend to think that I have a security. They have a false sense of security. Am I making sense? That's the concept. Religion is the kind of giving them a false sense of security. But they'll be in for a big shock when they find out that religion will not satisfy the requirement of our holy God. In his mind, Saul thought he was doing the service for God by persecuting Christianity. Little did he know that even before he became a part of the kingdom of God, he was actually working for Christianity unwittingly. By attacking Christians, he was spreading Christians all over geographically, literally pushing them out. If he didn't do so, in my opinion, all the first century Christians in Jerusalem would keep the holy huddle in Jerusalem and stay there, and staying within the comfort zone. We are the creature of comfort, are we not? Creatures of habit. You guys that come, when you come here, you pretty much look for the same seat. When there's somebody sitting in your seat, you give them that glare. It's like, how dare you sitting on my seat? As if that your seat has in your name on the back of your seat. No. That's the typical thing. They like to stay in within the comfort zone. I applaud to the missionaries because they go out of their ways, out of the comfort zone, going into the place they are not familiar with. Now, we are going to meet Philip here, verse 4, please, of chapter 8 in the book of Acts. Therefore, those who were scattered and went everywhere preaching the word, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirit, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. In our chapter 6 study, the last time, we came across a group of men, 7 men to be exact. And we knew the 2 of them by name. One is Stephen, the other one is Philip. Philip is the kind of guy who not only he was a great servant for the body of Christ and the Lord, he was also gifted in evangelism. The Lord's leading and the Paul's persecution made Philip to relocate himself in the midst of the Samaritan city, where the typical Orthodox Jew would not set his foot in there. 600 years before this, Assyrian invaded northern Israel, that is also known as Israel. And they took away all the wealthy and middle-class people out of that northern kingdom and replaced them with a pagan population. Then they forced the pagan population and the low-class Jewish people to intermarry, which was a no-no by the law of God. By doing so, the next generation mixed breed between the pagan and Israeli people. They are known as Samaritans. Generally speaking, the Jews hated Samaritans because they are in their mind, they are the compromising mixed breed and who corrupt the worship of a true God. They were deep-seated prejudice amounting almost to the hatred standing between the Jews and the Samaritans. It's almost like a 1940s and 1950s around Mississippi area, hatred between the white and black. Yet by the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit, Philip preached to Jesus Christ, because this man, the Jew, wants the Samaritans to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior so they may have eternal life. In his mind, there's no room for the prejudice, there's no room for hatred toward another fellow human being. Don't think that this is a job belongs to pastors, preachers, Bible teachers, and evangelists only. If you're the follower of Jesus Christ, guess what? Jesus told all of you to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is known as a Great Commission for every single follower of Jesus Christ. Being an effective communicator of gospel requires a willingness to reach out to the people who are different from us. As I mentioned, we are the creature of comfort. We like to hang around with the people whom we like and the people who care about us and people who like to talk the same things. So we like to mingle with another Christian. So we go to the Christian restaurant. We go to the Christian shop. And if there's an unbeliever comes, all of a sudden we have that cold shoulder coming up. We should not. In case you haven't forgot, we were unbelievers one time or another. Nobody was born with a born again from the mother's womb. We had to make a conscious choice to become born again Christian. Once we were unbelievers, why should we treat them any different? They don't know Jesus Christ. They need Jesus Christ just like we need Jesus Christ. Amen? To put this in another way, are we willing to acknowledge all the prejudice? Are we willing to acknowledge all the prejudice is wrong? Everyone needs Jesus, and we need to go without embarrassment or pride to share the gospel with them. We can talk all about the evangelism. We can attend the class. Nothing wrong with it. We can memorize a conversation starter for the evangelism. But what good is it if you just remain in the classroom, if you just remain in the church? Yes, we get to have unbelievers coming into the church. One time when I was in the prison ministry, a guy walked in. The first thing he said out of his mouth was, "How can I be saved?" "Well, what do you do when the fish jump into the boat?" "You fish them, right?" That's rare occasion. Most of the time, you have to go out to fish them. Don't think that people will, unbelievers will flock into the church so they can be saved. No, you are the one who witness to them with your life, not just with your word. Unbelievers can tell whether we care about them or not. Even a dog can tell the difference. Cats don't care. They look at you like, scratch my back. A person will know whether you are sharing the gospel out of sincerity or out of pure duty. Let it be out of pure sincerity. Go down to verse 9, please. Now we are finding another character, the seeker with the wrong motive, Simon the sorcerer. Verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city, astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed. From the least to the greatest, saying that this man is a great power of God. And they heed him, and because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Verse 13, then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and was amazed in seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hand the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to them, "Your money perish with you, because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor the portion in this matter. For your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this, your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by the bitterness and bounded by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." So when they had testified, preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. In the midst of the Samaritans, there was a sorcerer whose name was Simon. And he had a fair amount of fame locally because he was using his magic that came from Satan's power. On the side note, please, I want you to pay attention. Please don't let your children or grandchildren get involved with any occultic things, whether it's a Ouija board or anything, Dungeon and Dragon. Don't let them play with the board game, or read the books, or watch novels, and watch movies, that's a unique thing, and play video games. You know why? Because you're literally opening the door to the satanic influence. And you wonder if they continuously doing this kind of thing, you wonder, and why my kid is going out of whack? No kidding, because they are influenced by the satanic things. As the Samaritans were coming to faith and miracles were being performed and people's lives changed, Simon realized that he had to change his tactics. So in verse 13, Simon himself he started to believe and was baptized. He followed Philip everywhere and was astonished by the great signs and wonders. When Simon approached the apostles to offer them money because he saw that God's power can be purchased by money, and he wanted to buy it. This shows a true spiritual condition of him. Yes, he was baptized. Yes, he attended every service that Philip conducted. And yes, he moved by the miracles happening in Samaria. But just because someone is baptized, someone is in the church services, and someone is hanging around with a bunch of Christians, that doesn't mean anything that doesn't prove anything to God that he is a born-again Christian. The only way the person can go to heaven is through Jesus Christ, receiving him as a Lord and Savior, become born again. There's no other way. This shows that people can be in godly place, around godly people, and not have affect them in the right way. It's been said before, the same sun that softened the wax that can harden the clay. The light of Jesus Christ, if it does not convert the listener, it will only plunge him or her into deeper darkness. Simon the sorcerer thought Holy Spirit was merely power, like a Luke Skywalker from the Star Trek, Star Wars. I cannot tell the difference from one to another. He said, "Let force be with you." In his mind, it was just a force. Holy Spirit is a person of Trinity. He is a God. He cannot be bought. And somehow he thought it can be purchased. Have you ever heard the word simony? Simony. It came from this sorcerer's action. It is the word for the sin of the buying or selling the church offices or privilege. And it is done in the same concept of this man. Do you know this sin is still being practiced today? Some Christians think that just because they are large, heavy-sized donor for the church, somehow they think that in their mind, I should be elder or the deacon of this church. And some people think that, well, I can buy doctoral degree of divinity from somewhere. As a matter of fact, yes, you can. If you go to the Universal Life Church Monastery, you can buy honorary doctoral degree of divinity for $36.98. I checked it out. I was thinking about getting one. Dr. Junho Kim. It has a ring to it, don't you think? Dr. Kim. My daddy was a doctor, medical doctor. My brother is a medical doctor. And you're thinking, what happened to you? I'm the black sheep of the family. What good is it for you to have this doctor degree out of this place? And they practice Wicca, crystal, and metal magic. We are not serving the same God. So you may have that privilege, you may have a spiritual privilege in man's eyes, buying and selling. Another good example. During the medieval time, indulgence. Pre-forgiven pass for your sins. So you know you're going to sin on that weekend, go buy indulgence, buy some, dole out your money, and then now you can go out and sin as many as you want. That's the concept. It's a good marketing strategy for the Roman Catholic during that time. Do you think now it's different? Joel Osteen. And you're thinking, is he not a Christian brother? You're attacking him? What he teaches is heresies. I'm attacking his heresies. He said everything is good. He doesn't talk about sins because it offends people. Just in case you haven't noticed, this book offends people's heart. When you sin against God, you offend God's heart. So God pointed out that it's wrong. And people don't want to hear that kind of thing. a friend of mine who is a pastor of Calvary Chapel somewhere in Arizona, don't ask me where, he told me this story. He appointed this guy who was a heavy financial donor to that church as an assistant pastor. And he thought, he's very helpful, so I made him to be an assistant pastor. And later he said, that was stupidity of me. Because he turned out to be the wolf in the sheep clothing. In our church some time ago, we had a man who tried to tell me about his financial donation to our church. And he pretty much hinted me that I should treat him differently. I thought about telling him what the Apostle Peter said to Simon, let your money perish with you. Don't look around, he's not here. He's gone because I didn't cater to his demand. That's a simony. Now you learn a new word, right? Simon's response to this severe word of warning by Peter in verse 24 was not all encouraging. He was more concerned about avoiding the judgment from God than asking God to forgive him for his sins. A sinner who wants the prayer of others but who will not repent of his sin is not going to enter God's kingdom. Have you heard of unbelievers coming to you? Would you pray for me for this thing? But they themselves will not pray because they know they don't have a right relationship with God. And their favorite thing is, say a prayer for me. Actually, I hate that phrase. Say a prayer for me. It's almost like a nonchalant throwing the words around. Praying to God is a heavy, heavy duty word. You're speaking to the Almighty God from your heart. Take it seriously. This incident only shows how close a man can be. Men can come to salvation and still not be converted. Simon heard the gospel, saw the miracles, even made a profession of faith in Christ. He was baptized, and yet he was never born again. I know majority of you, but not all of you. And I don't know where you are with a spiritual condition. You may know him. You may have heard about Jesus Christ. You may think that you're a Christian. But unless you are born again, Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Is it clear enough for you? To me it is. You can declare yourself as a Christian all you want. And you may not like what I just said, and you may not like what the Bible says, so I'm not going to come to this church. Fine, you can run, but truth goes with you. What you just heard will go with you. It will haunt you until you give up to God or you reject God. In my opinion, Simon is one of Satan's clever counterfeits. And had Peter not exposed the wickedness of his heart, Simon would have not been accepted as a member of a Samaritan church congregation. I have three applications for you. Number one, true faith in Jesus Christ gives us salvation, not any of the man-made religions. Don't count on your religion. Religion will not save you. Only the personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Savior. Second application, being an effective communicator of gospel requires a willingness to reach out to people who are different from us. Third application, our God is not impressed by our financial offering or social status. The only thing he cares about is our dedicated hearts to him. Amen?